Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Elaine Burke, technology journalist and host of the For Tech's Sake podcast. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Elaine, there was a new ChatGPT iteration launched during the week, and they seem to be telling us this is kind of the one, this is the AI in our daily lives game changer, is going to be in our phone, in our pocket, and that this is it, yeah?
That's what they're telling us, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And that's where you're here, to tell us
exactly.
The truth.
So it was an interesting week, actually, because we actually had two launches of very similar types of technology from two big AI players. Google, the very next day, made a similar announcement in its AI developments. And it's about this called multimodal interaction with an AI service. So at the moment, people would be most familiar with chatbots, where you type in an input and you get typed out outputs. And there are voice iterations out there as well, and there's obviously image generation and everything, but they're trying to combine a lot of different versions of AI, things like computer vision, where an AI system can't see what's in your field of vision and interpret that, and all the kind of reasoning that from their models and things like that, combine that together so that you can interact through sending it an image, sending it live images from your phone, speaking to it, and having less what they call latency in that conversation. So when you speak to the AI, you get a quick response, and it's as close to conversational as they can get it. Now, what I'm saying is about, like, that's what they're saying is we got demonstrations which would have been controlled and rehearsed by both companies, and we don't really have a clear roadmap of when these functionalities are going to be available for everyday users or even some of their paid users. So it seemed a bit like this week was more of a battle to get headlines, and the fact that I'm here to talk about ChatGPT, I guess OpenAI won.
they're calling it the next step in natural human computer interaction. I would have said watching the ChatGPT demo, creepy was the word that came to mind. So they've kind of tried to give the bot a bit of personality, like, and it's kind of like fun in inverted commas.
Yeah, and I feel like what's happening now with these AI systems is they're treading into what's called uncanny valley, and roboticists would be very familiar with this area, and it's when things get so human-like that they become unsettling. And if you want to have an idea of what this demo was like, if you've seen the film Her by Spike Jonze, which starred Joaquin Phoenix and had Scarlett Johansson's voice as an AI that he communicated with, I feel like they intentionally made their AI quite similar to Scarlett Johansson's voice and the style of the voice in Her, because I think they're trying to create this idea that we are in this futuristic vision that you've seen in sci-fi films and that kind of thing.
You see, this is more of it. So the tech companies are being guided by, like, sci-fi films, which is kind of terrifying notion, isn't
it? Well, it's
it?
Not unusual. Like, you see the things out of, people like to make comparisons to Star Trek a lot of the time when it comes to tech developments. You know,
sliding,
you have a live
doors
translator, and actually they demonstrated live translation. So
So are we going to have an assistant soon, like a kind of a humanly functioning assistant in our pocket that is our phone, and that's all run through AI, and that we basically just shout out whatever we need?
That would be lovely, I think, to have.
Yeah.
But my big question would be, like, what are the use cases and what makes money when it comes to these companies? Because what we've already seen is we already have smart assistants with things like Siri and Alexa. And I don't see a lot of people voluntarily always using voice to interact with them. Some people do, some people choose not to. So I'm not sure if the voice interaction is something that is proven as a mass use case that would be as common as, say, a Google search. So that raises questions for me. It's really impressive to see that an AI is able to create that dialogue at speed. But what is the use case? Will people use it as commonly as they use Google? Because I think what they're trying to do is supplant Google searches, really. Because you don't want to be going to Google to get answers to questions. You want to be going to your AI agent and interacting with that. So, but you can also text and interact with it that way. And then what makes money? With Alexa, Amazon makes a loss on selling, like, those Echo devices, with the effort that's gone into developing the Alexa technology behind it. And what they wanted to do was to create a device that would eventually lead to people making sales through Amazon and consuming things through Amazon. And that hasn't actually really panned out for them. And they've, like, reduced investment in Alexa and Echo hardware and stuff like that. So that raises questions for me as well. It's like, where are they going to make money from this? And if they don't make money from it, well, then development will stop and they'll pull from it. It's why we
don't really have EVs driving themselves. It's going to be free, isn't it?
Well, that's the other thing as well. So as I said, we don't really have a clear roadmap of when these technologies are going to be available. And ChatGPT in particular has a paid version and a free version. And it's likely that some of these features will be available to the paid users first, but they are saying it will be available to everyone to use eventually.
Okay. Tell me about an AI twin. We can double our productivity, apparently.
Yeah, this is something that was kind of made famous recently by Reid Hoffman, who's one of the founders of LinkedIn. He created an AI version of himself and had a conversation with it and was kind of saying, this could be the future of how we do work. You could send your AI twin to a meeting. But you'd still, as the individual, still be expected to do the work of someone who went to 6 meetings and interpreting what the task that came out of that. And how are you meant to manage that as a human being? So I'm a bit skeptical about how useful that will be for people. But it's also like this idea that creating an AI version of people will help them better connect. Like, it's just completely deluded.
Yeah, okay.
And also the thing about AI systems is they're systems. Systems can be gamed. And I'm thinking, oh, well, if I have an AI boss who comes to my meeting because my boss can't be bothered to come to the meeting, what can I say to prompt that AI to convince it to sign off on a 4-day week for everyone at the company? Like, I'd be trying to game that as much as possible.
Mm, okay, so it's a bit further off than we might have been led to believe. And by the way, we should say this is all really bad for the environment, yes?
100%. So we can't get like a definitive estimate on the carbon impact of these kind of AI interactions, but there are pretty solid estimates that say a Google search costs a certain amount of carbon emissions, and they reckon a standard ChatGPT interface, so text input and text back, is about 20 times the carbon footprint of that. And I think that's quite a conservative estimate, to be fair. And when you introduce image processing, live computer vision processing, if you're introducing very quick conversational dialogue, that takes a lot of computing power, and that's actually going to ramp up the amount of energy that this stuff consumes.
Okay, so Gen Z, who they'll be wanting to adopt this, all very concerned about the environment. They'll have some choices to make here. Okay, Elaine Burke, host of the For Tech's Sake podcast, thank you very much.